Be unapologetically Spirit-filled. I'm going to say that one more time. We're going to go to that in a minute. Be unapologetically Spirit-filled. Amen. Our world is full of confusion. And demonic hordes are working overtime to tear our nation, to tear people apart. There are even pastors who not only are having problems with divorce, but are committing suicide. The stress, the pressure, you feel it every single day. We have been in a series on spiritual warfare. Be unapologetically Spirit-filled. And let the Holy Spirit have His way in you and in me. Let the river of God flow. He strengthens, He heals, He delivers, He encourages. Speak in tongues if you don't have that gift yet. Come on up, let us pray for you. Receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Be unapologetic, because the Spirit of God is the one who ushers in His presence and brings the answer. How many know Jesus is the answer for the world today? Above Him there is no other. Above Him there is no way. Be unapologetically Spirit-filled. You have nothing to be ashamed about, nothing to be embarrassed about, because we believe Jesus is alive. He heals, He ministers, He encourages, He delivers in Jesus' name. And the now presence of God is needed more than ever. Someone say amen or oh no. Be unapologetically Spirit-filled. It's a great, wonderful thing. Now, that doesn't mean we look down at our nose at somebody that isn't. No. We hold out hands that welcome people in to the river of God, because He's doing a supernatural work. I'm convinced. I pray you are too. I am convinced we are on the verge of a new move of God. The chaos of the 60s, you had Kent. You had Kent State. You had the Democratic National Convention with nearly a bloodbath in the streets. You had Vietnam. You had people tearing each other apart. And you had confusion and brutality against police and against other people. And you had difficulties and chaos in politics. And God's answer was to raise up the Jesus movement and the charismatic movement that swept the earth with His presence and His power. I'm ready for a new move of God. How about you? Oh God, you hear our hearts. We cry out, Lord, moved by your Holy Spirit, right here in this place, right here in this region, right here in this earth. Amen. He promises He'll fill this earth with His glory as the waters cover the sea. Do you want it?
Yes.
Oh Lord, move by your Spirit.
Amen.
Say, I am
unapologetic
about the Spirit of God. We love Him, don't we? He's gracious. He's great. The anointing breaks the yoke. We're on the 8th lesson in our spiritual warfare series. The anointing breaks the yoke. Now, a yoke is a wooden beam. It's normally used between a pair of oxen or other animals to enable them to pull together on a load when they're working in pairs, as oxen usually do. Some are for individuals. But this one is the one Pastor Sherry decorates. I told my wife four times, I said, now you can't be out of the room in the first part of the message. She didn't know what I was going to do. So that's the way Pastor Sherry sees the yoke of an oxen. There you go. Yeah, they're going to be at the party this afternoon. Yeah. Writing autographs. Actually, that's from Germany, the German yoke that was put on that particular pair of oxen. I want to talk for a moment about cruel captivity. The Assyrians were a particularly brutal ancient people who occupied much of what's known as modern Turkey today. Iran, Iraq, Turkey, and Syria. They had a highly advanced military organization and weaponry. state of the art for its day. It was literally the greatest power in Southwest Asia. They accomplished a lot of things, by the way, in history. You look into their history, and it includes the development of sophisticated trade networks. They developed a very accurate use of the wheel, a writing alphabet, the cuneiform, and the ziggurats, the pyramids. They developed all of that, and calendars. They developed the division of time that we go with nowadays ourselves, a 60-minute hour and a 60-second minute and all of those kinds of things. But they were literally ferocious warriors. I don't even want to say the things they would do to those captives that were their captives. They would literally fillet them, skin them alive, blind them in horrific ways, and they would pass their children or the captive children, they'd throw them into the fire, and it was just horrific the things they would do. And so when God told Jonah, it's time for you to go to Nineveh in Assyria and preach my word to them, Jonah said, okay, because he didn't even want to see these horrible people delivered. Can you blame him? They had treated Israel horrible. The 10 tribes were hauled off because of sin. Their sins caught up to them. And no matter how much God tried to get them to turn around, the Lord brought judgment into their lives because they kept running after other gods. How many know that when you run after other gods, the final results of what happened aren't God's fault? We blame God for things that happen in our lives, when in actuality, sometimes we've opened a wide door ourselves. Come on, isn't it true? We know it's true in our lives. But through Isaiah, we have a prophet who began to declare both the judgment that was coming, but also the good news of God's restoration. Aren't you glad we serve a restoring God? Come on, man, I am. Aren't you glad? I'm a sinner saved by grace. How about you? Look at each other. Come on, look at each other and say, I know you are, whether you admit it or not. But Isaiah prophesies about a deliverance to come, and there's a verse we've all claimed and declared, and it goes like this out of the King James. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, his yoke from off thy neck. The yoke shall be, say it with me please, destroyed because of the anointing. Now watch, out of the New King James. The yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. Now, interestingly, other verses translate it this way. And if you've seen it, you've probably scratched your head and got, huh? Out of the New American Standard, the yoke will be broken, please say this, because of fatness. So if you want to get really delivered, you get really... No. No, that's not what that means. No, that's not what that means. That's bad hermeneutics. Bad interpretation. I want to talk for a moment, just a quick moment, to give you a more accurate understanding, because what's been done has actually been poor theological understanding of the Word of God. Because in charismatic circles, we quote this all the time. The anointing breaks the yoke, and that's true. The anointing of the Spirit of God does break the yoke of bondages the devil brings our way. The yoke of slavery is destroyed. Now, here's the picture. Here's the accurate picture of what the Hebrew is intending in this verse. The small oxen under this yoke of slavery and bondage becomes so healthy, so vibrant, so alive, so well-fed, so nourished, so strong, and so large that it literally breaks the yoke off of its shoulders. The yoke is literally destroyed as the bearer of burdens is set free. The anointing of Jesus delivers us, and we become so fed by His Word, by His Spirit, by His grace, as we fellowship with one another. Do you feel a little, the Bible says they shall be fat and flourishing. Do you feel a little more well fed this morning, having been in the presence of God together? So the anointing comes upon us in His presence, and we rise up in maturity and strength, and we kick the devil off of our shoulders. The Bible says, resist the devil. He must flee from you. So you come to church, you get strengthened, you're nourished, you're well fed, and the yoke of bondage is broken off your back. It's not only broken, it is destroyed. Aren't you glad? I'm stronger just by being with you guys this morning as we praise and worship Jesus together. That's why we armor up and we do spiritual warfare together. The devil's bondages are cruel captivity. Addictions, bondages, people can't get set free. Jesus sets you free. Turn to each other and say it. Jesus sets you free. And that's why we're ready for a fresh move of God. Amen? That's why we're ready for a fresh move of God, a fresh move of the Holy Spirit. That's why we want to see people set free. Amen. And He absolutely destroys the yoke of bondage. Now in the Bible, there are many times we see the anointing oil that is used, and it's just pregnant with meaning, full of meaning, with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Remember, Mary pours oil on the head and feet of Jesus. Was it just to give Him a fragrant smell? He was marked by God's fragrance as He went through the most difficult time of His physical life. Marked, kept, anointed by God. Let's talk about the oil of victory for a moment. Psalm 23, verse 5. Turn to it in your own Bible, if you will. The Shepherd's Psalm, Psalm 23, verse 5. Psalm 23, verse 5, of course, my primary text is from the New King James, but I like to use other translations as well to give a flavor of what that meaning is. Psalm 23, verse 5. It says this, and if you can't find it in front of you, no problem. I've got it up here. Psalm 23, verse 5 declares, you prepare a what?
A table.
Now, He prepares. God sets the table. Now, my wife is so cute. She's running around, and she finally tells me, I need your help. We're setting up the house, and yes, you're having a party. Okay. So we helped set the table. In fact, in our house, if you've been to our house, we got a bunch of tables. Yeah. And we got a bunch of tables set out. But in the midst of whatever's going on, no matter where you are, God sets a table for you. Watch. Where? In the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Watch this out of the Passion Translation. This is so cool. You become my delicious feast, even when my enemies dare to fight. You anoint me with the fragrance of your Holy Spirit. You give me all I can drink of you until my heart overflows. Don't you love that? Isn't that beautiful? Every time we have looked into these words in Hebrew or in Greek, that this man uses, we have seen the accuracy of his text. I can't vouch for everything in the Passion, but we have found it a wonderful devotional tool. Now, when you're building your doctrine, use your New American Standard, use your King James, your New King James. That's where you build your doctrine from. But it's good to see what the other translations are to give you a richer flavor of meaning, and that's what this does. In turmoil, when others declare defeat, Jesus sets a table. He prepares a table for us to sit and to eat, to rest and to rejoice. And when the devil threatens and attacks in the heart of God's people, there's a fragrance that remains. There's a smell of His presence. You know, I betcha, not only when Peter was standing warming his hands at the fire did his speech betray him, I'll bet he smelled a little bit like Jesus too. We've got a fragrance of God on us. Literally, it means God sets a banquet for you. We used to sing that old song. He brought me to his banqueting table. His banner over me is love. He brought, come on, everybody ought to know this song. This is back from the year 1828. His banner over me is love. A table, provision, abundance, peace, prosperity, the ability to sit, relax in the presence even of turmoil. Church together, we find peace in the storm, don't we?
Yes.
That's why we gather. God gives a peace that passes all understanding. A peace that passes all understanding. What's that mean? When you're in a time of turmoil and you can't understand how you could ever have peace, that's when he gives you peace. Passes all understanding. I don't see how I could have peace. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. I don't have the whole verse up there. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will literally guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In the Greek, that literally means you can't find the answers by your own intellect. You can't control it all. Come on. I said, you can't control it all. Come on. I said, you can't control it all. Some of you still aren't jumping in because you really want to control it all, don't you? Come on, don't you? Five of you. I want to control it all. I would like to make sure, hey, life goes, that's right, that's right, that's right, that's right. And the Lord sits in the heavens and laughs, the Bible says. I may have misused that verse, but it felt good right at the moment. But it's true, man, it's true. We want to control things. And what this basically says, life comes in such a way that you can't control it all. But the peace of God sets a watch, a guard, a sentinel at the gate of your life. And he's all around you. In fact, literally, the Greek means you are hemmed in. You are protected. You are hedged about with God. Now, if God's got you hedged about, how many think the devil ain't going to be able to get in there? Picture Peter. It's a brutal persecution that begins to set into the church. God wants to scatter his word. They haven't done a good job of doing that. But nevertheless, persecution begins. James is killed. And the king sees that that pleases the Jews. So they arrest Peter, remember? And they bring Peter in. They're going to kill him the next day. The next day. How many would be up fretting, walking the floor if you could, if you weren't chained? How many think that'd be, Lord, get me out of here. Come on, get me out of here. You know what Peter was doing? He was zoned out, sound asleep. And it wasn't because he was a dumb fisherman. He was at peace. He was so sound asleep. I love this. He was so sound asleep. The Bible says the angel smote him to wake him up. The angel's trying to get him out. Can you just let it live? I kind of love this stuff. You go, okay, hey, Peter, come on, man. Let's get you out of here. Hey, Peter. Peter's over there. Peter. And the angel walks up and goes, what is it with this guy? Whap! Peter, get up! Since Peter gets up and then the chains just fall off him as he walks out. He's out on the street before he realizes he saw a vision. And God set him free. Peace that passes all understanding. Peace is what he gives in a time where there is no peace. He anoints my head with oil, my head, my thoughts. I have the mind of Christ, and he puts peace in my mind and in my heart, and he pours out his spirit upon you and upon me. The oil of anointing is the type of the Spirit of God. He's inside. He gives you peace and strength, and his river flows, and he brings you healing and encouragement. We don't always see it instantly, but he's there. The oil of protection. A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23 was a book that came out in, the 70s. But there's a point to all of this that we just read in Psalm 23. Summertime is fly time. By this, reference is being made to the hordes of insects that come out in the hot weather of summertime. Sheep are especially troubled by the nose fly. And the nose fly, or nasal fly, it is sometimes called, tries to buzz about the sheep's head, attempting to deposit its eggs on the damp mucous membranes of the sheep's nose. If they're successful, this gets a little worse. If they're successful, the eggs will hatch in a few days to form small, slender-like, worm-like larvae. They work their way up the nasal passages into the sheep's head. You want to go out for lunch now? They burrow into the flesh, and there they set up a severe irritation and set up a severe inflammation. Now listen, this all ties in. It is such a strong irritation and inflammation. The advanced form of this will many times lead to blindness. But beyond that, the sheep becomes so grievously annoyed and disturbed, they will deliberately beat their heads against trees, against rocks, against posts, and against brush. They will rub their head in the soil. They'll thrash about against the wood growth. In extreme cases of intense infestation, a sheep may even kill itself. In the Bible, flies were a picture of demonic spirits. And if we don't receive the antidote to this, the demonic spirits will try to get you off track, control your thinking. You see people turning in despair to suicide and turning away from the truth of God, His church, His word, where they could find help and hope. But there is an antidote to this. They become frantic with fear. They stamp their feet erratically. They will race from place to place in the pasture, desperately trying to elude the flies. Some may run so much they drop from sheer exhaustion, or they'll toss their heads up and down for hours. It's a real situation. What's the antidote? Oil. Oil. Sulfur and tar, which was smeared over the sheep's nose and head as a protection against nose flies. When this is put on the sheep, an incredible transformation takes place. Once the oil has been applied, the sheep returns to peace. And its erratic behavior is over, and it's an immediate change in behavior. Anybody in this room ever been delivered by Jesus' grace? Anybody in this room ever had the peace of Jesus and the Holy Spirit come and breathe on you and give you new hope and new life? Have you ever received forgiveness from God? Have you ever had the oil of His anointing poured out on you and you go, oh, thank God, the torment of the devil must cease and he must flee through the blood of Jesus and the oil of anointing. Demons must flee. We should sing that old song too. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. Anybody remember? In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee. Anyway. There's another issue. The oil of anointing is your answer, an antidote against demonic forces and attack. It was also not just nasal fly time, it was scab time. Scab time. Scabs were an irritating, highly contagious disease. And it was really contagious, and it would run rampant through the church. How many understand some sin runs rampant through a church? That's why you stop backbiting and gossip immediately. You put your finger in your ears if somebody wants to come and tell you a story about somebody else. You look at them and go, I'm sorry, I can't hear you. You need to go talk to that person. I can't hear you. Someone say amen or oh no.
Amen.
And he quit preaching and took to meddling. Okay. But scabs are a minute little microscopic parasite that proliferates in the warm weather, and they spread throughout a flock by direct contact between infected and non-infected animals. Now, this is really cool. This is really cool. The only effective antidote is the linseed oil, sulfur, and other chemicals that control the disease. In many sheep-rearing countries, dips are built, and the entire flock is put through the dip. Anybody in this room ever been baptized? If you've not been water baptized and baptized in the oil of anointing, God's got something fresh and powerful to deliver you and set you free. I love the look of this sheep going, that is all right, this feels pretty good. The only effective antidote, the head, the thoughts, the place of attack. Stay under the anointing. We used to say, stay under the spout where the glory comes out. Receiving His Holy Spirit, the oil of anointing. I want to talk one more. The oil of authority. The oil of authority. All through the Bible, kings were anointed by oil. There's so many aspects we could do this morning. So many pictures we could do this morning. And I'm coming to a close very shortly. Chapter 16 of 1 Samuel, verses 12 and 13, was where Samuel was looking for the next anointed king. And Jesse had brought out all his family. Remember, marched all his family one by one in front of him. And boy, Samuel thought, these guys look good, man. They're head and shoulders taller than everybody else. They're good looking. And this must be him. And God said, that ain't him. Next one, this must be him. God said, that ain't him. And he runs all his children by him. And he says, haven't you got somebody else? You know, how do you think the other sons felt about that at that moment? Haven't you got anybody else? He says, I got one out in the field, but he's just a little runt. He's out with the sheep. They bring him in. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. 1 Samuel 16, 12, second half. In verse 13, Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. David was considered last and least in his family. But he's the one God chose. The oil of the Holy Spirit's anointing in your life and mine anoints you with authority to reign in life. We reign in life through one, the Bible says, Christ Jesus. The devil brings temptation. Remember, you have the mind of Christ. No way. I'm not going that way. I reign in life through Jesus. And when the enemy tries to say, wait a minute, you're a jerk. You did this, that, and the other thing. You say, no, that's under the blood of Jesus. I reign in life through Christ Jesus. And when he says, oh, you really aren't successful, are you? You really don't have the mind of Christ. You're not so hot. You rise up and say, it doesn't matter if I'm hot. He's hot and he is in charge. I reign in life through one Christ Jesus. And his life was different from then on. He was marked by the Spirit of God. God's protection was upon him. Now I'm looking at a room full of people. God's hands are on you. He's protected you. He's got the Spirit of God in your life. Aren't things perfect? Some of you go, this is a trick question. I'm not saying anything. Life's not perfect. All God's kids got some problems. But all God's kids have a great big Jesus who puts his great big arms around you. And it is his anointing that destroys the yoke. Today, 1 Peter 2:9, we are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. That's what the Bible says. Today, Revelation 1:6 and 5:10, the Bible says he's made us kings and priests to our God. What do you think it means when he says King of kings and Lord of lords? He is king over small k kings. Lord over small l lords who reign in life through Christ Jesus. Church, be unapologetically Spirit-filled. Because his anointing has destroyed any and all yokes of bondage. Amen? I almost called the message this morning, the yoke's on you, but really the point is, the yoke's off of you in the name of Jesus. Stand with me, would you, musicians, will you come? Thank you, Lord Jesus, for doing so many great and marvelous things for us today. We thank you, Lord, that you're the God who does all things well. And we know, Lord, that your grace is in our life. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to apologize for what you do in the Spirit of God that we may not even be able to always explain. Thank you, Lord, that no matter what happens, you've always got us in your hands. Thank you, Lord, that you are the lover of our soul. And this morning, we thank you for having mercy on each of our lives. Are you grateful this morning?
Yes.
Isn't he good?
Yes.
Don't you want to go to a birthday party now?
Yes.
Forgive Pastor Sherry and I. We're going to jet out of here pretty quickly, but we hope we'll see you all again in just a few minutes. But most of all, I pray that you know that delivering power in your life this morning. Now, if you need prayer, there'll be people here to pray for you. We believe God does all things well, including in your life and in mine. Someone say amen.
Amen.
He loves you so much. Jesus, it's all about you this morning. The reason we've come here to this place, it's all about you. Seeing you, hearing you, loving you, walking with you, worshiping you. Now I pray, Lord, there's something from the word this morning that will strengthen and keep your people. Even as we go from this place today, we know the oil of anointing has literally broken and destroyed every yoke. Now, if you're here this morning and you're burdened and you have a yoke of bondage in your life, every eye closed, please. I want you to raise your hand. I want you to raise your hand if you need delivering prayer from Jesus Christ. All right? I see them. Lord, keep them up. Father, we thank you right now by the power of the Holy Ghost. Come on, join me, church. The power of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that every one of these bondages is broken in the name of Jesus. Lord, whatever it is, a spirit of despair, it's broken in the name of Jesus. A spirit of poverty, it's broken in the name of Jesus. A spirit of illness or sicknesses, a spirit of discouragement, it's broken in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you are the God who sees, who knows, who delivers. And we give you praise and thanks today that you've done that for each one of us in Jesus' name. And they all said,
amen.
Would you raise your hands for the blessing, please? Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. And they all said,
amen.